so much, ladies. Really appreciate that. That's one of my favorite songs on the radio right now. I'm so glad. I asked them if they do that, and I'm so thankful they are. So if you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to turn with me, we're in Acts chapter 10 this week. Acts chapter 10. And let me pray. Lord, will I stand up here, stand in front of me, so they see you? And Lord, as I preach, talk over me so that they hear you. These are your people. This is your word. Church is your idea. So come and make it live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever have God ask you to do something, push you to do something, nudge you to do something, urge you to do something that you don't want to do? You ever have that? This week, my prayer is that you say yes when God urges you to do something or say something. So it will be really helpful, I think, if you get in the front of your mind right in the beginning, what is it that God is urging you to do? What you'll see in this passage is when God wants you to do something, it's not that he turns you into a robot and then you can't help but respond. And God is up there with a joystick or a controller making you do stuff. It's that God tells us to do something and we say no, and then he tells us again and we say no, and then he tells us again. And my question for you is, how long will you keep saying no? It's time to say yes. Today's the day to say yes. So you might be getting in your mind, okay, what is God calling me? What's he calling me to do? What's he calling me to say? It would be just like God to call you to do something or say something that would be on mission. What's he calling you to do? What's he calling you to say? Acts chapter 10 tells the story of Cornelius coming to faith. But before Cornelius comes to faith, he's in prayer. He's not saved yet, but he's praying, because not everyone that prays is saved. Just because you're praying and devout and a good person doesn't mean you're saved. So Cornelius is praying, and that God coordinates that with Peter praying, and so this picture shows Peter praying, but remember, Peter is staying at the house of Simon the tanner. And so Peter is there, and about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, Peter goes up on the roof to pray. And Peter is up on the roof praying, and he's really hungry, and he has a vision of food that he can't eat. So it's the text says that a sheet was let down from heaven by four corners, but it doesn't say angels. But there's a lot of angels in the text, and so evidently this artist decided to put angels letting down the sheet, but because of our priority of Scripture, we're going to cross out the angels. No angels, bad. You know, maybe it was angels, I don't know. But the point is, God is saying to Peter, take up, kill, and eat. You're supposed to eat this stuff now, Peter. And Peter is saying, well, let me read it to you. We're in Acts chapter 10, verse 13, and a voice came from heaven, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, by no means, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. And this happened three times. And the thing was taken up at once to heaven. And while Peter is sitting there, wondering what just happened and what to make of it, three men come to his door and knock. And God tells them, go with them. And of course, one of them is a soldier. And so God tells him, go with them. And so he goes with them. He leaves Joppa and goes up to Caesarea. But the main thing I want you, as I've already told you today, the main thing is, have clear, what is God urging you to do? What is God pressing on you to do? What keeps coming to your mind? What do you keep telling God? By no means. I've never done anything like that, and I have no desire to do anything like that. But God keeps pushing on you to do something or to say something on mission. The main thing is obey the Spirit. And it would be just like God, as he's pushing you to do something or say something on mission, to tell you what you need to do is go to their house and eat their food. This is what God is telling him to do. He's telling him, go to this Gentile's house and eat his food. And this is what Peter is saying, I can't do that. I'm a Jewish person. I don't eat that kind of food. That is unclean food. But what God is saying is, what the mission looks like right now for you, Peter, is to go to his house and eat his food. Do you think of going to someone's house and eating their food as on mission? I sure do. And here's why. Because we look back at them and say, boy, food was really a divisive thing back then. Sure glad food doesn't divide people today. Well, it sure does. I bet you have fast food friends. And then I bet you have slow food friends. You know what I'm talking about. Food can still divide us. I bet you have organic food friends. And I bet you have, I don't care, I eat what tastes good, friends. You might even know an evangelistic vegan. Try to get them to eat with, I don't know, carnivores? Like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, enthusiastic carnivores? I only eat meat. Thank you very much. Food still divides us. But food is also a way of saying, and this is what it was for Peter. This is God saying to Peter, go and eat with them, because going and eating with them says, I accept you. I accept you. I'm allowing myself to be served by you. You're not unclean. What they thought was unclean food meant made unclean people. Like, you are what you eat. If you eat that unclean stuff, you'll become unclean. Kind of like today, how some people have their issues around food. Like, I can't eat that with them because I don't want it to make me whatever they're afraid it will make them. And so it's on mission to go and eat their food with them. We had some people from another culture at our last church that was very important that we go to their house and eat their food as a sign of, like, we're in this together. And that's still true. Going to their house and eating their food is a sign that says, we accept you. And this would make sense that Jesus would call Peter to do this, because Jesus came himself and walked among us and ate with the disciples. We'll see reference to that. After Jesus is resurrected, he comes and he eats with the disciples. That's a big thing to say, I accept you and you accept me. It's on mission to go to their house and eat their food. It's on mission. So Peter leaves Joppa where he is and goes with them to Caesarea, to their house, to eat their food. And as he goes with them to their house to eat their food, they invite him to share the gospel with them. And so we read here in verse 33 where Cornelius says, so I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord to tell us. Like, okay, we're all ears. Go ahead and tell us. See, But Peter first has to go to their house and eat their food. He has to be on mission with that first. And then, because God sent him, just think of the incarnation, how God looked down on us and said, they need help. So I'm going to go and help them. God sent Peter like he came himself. And so this is what we read then in Acts chapter 10 about when Peter has the invitation. He's gone to their house. It's time for him to talk. And so he does. And so Peter opened his mouth. Now look, a lot of us think we can witness without words. And that is not in the Bible. What's in the Bible is words and deeds working together. We need both. Acts, Peter needs to go to their house and eat their food, but he also needs the courage to speak. We need both. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. Whoa. That's a big deal. But every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all. Watch how Peter just summarizes the gospel for them. Watch how Peter just walks them through the gospel in short form. And look, if you are on mission and you're going to people's homes to eat their food, you need to be able to summarize the gospel in short form. And this is what Peter does. He tells them the story in a succinct way. And so he's like, look, the word came. It was sent. Jesus is the word that came. And you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what we'll see is that this same Holy Spirit, we've already seen this, in Acts chapter 2, anointed the apostles and then came on all the believers. And this same Holy Spirit will anoint the Gentiles. Same Holy Spirit that Jesus got fell on the believers, and now is going to fall on the Gentiles. No one could have seen this come. Now, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So this is about how Jesus lived in complete and total obedience to the Father, how Jesus not just came, but how he lived among us. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. And so he says, he's using tree here, and it reminds us of Deuteronomy. And it reminds us how he bore our sins and he took our curse. And so he's saying, Jesus came. Jesus lived in perfect obedience to the Father, showing us the way. And then he died for our sins, taking our sins, bearing our curse. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. God didn't leave him dead. God raised him. Not to all the people, so all the people didn't see Jesus right away, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Here's what he's talking about now is Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and Jesus is going to return to judge the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. And so it's an invitation to believe the gospel. Here's what Peter does. Once Peter is invited to their home, he goes to their home, he eats their food, and then he bears witness. And this is what you and I are called to do. We're called to bear witness. We're called to use our words and speak and tell them. And so as you're sitting there and you're contemplating, what is God calling you to do? Maybe you already know, and you just kind of need a push to do it. But as you're sitting there and you're not sure yet, what is God calling me to do? What is the Holy Spirit? What would it mean for me to obey the Holy Spirit? Well, it might mean that you need to get to know someone well enough that you get invited to their house to eat their food. It might mean that it's time for you to speak up. It's time for you to stop hiding from it, stop being ashamed, and tell them the gospel. It might be time. But our biggest thing is what we do is we do what Peter was tempted to do in the beginning of this. Peter was tempted to say, I can't go to Cornelius' house because Cornelius would not fit in the church because he's a Gentile. So what we do is instead of witnessing to people, a lot of times we screen people. We say, well, they wouldn't like sitting with us and eating our food, so we're not going to go to their house and eat their food. We think they wouldn't like our kind of church service, or they wouldn't want to be a Christian. And so we screen people. We kind of negate people where we say, well, they wouldn't like this, and so we don't share the gospel with them. And what this is about is saying, no, witness rather than screen. You let God sort them out. You witness. So look, they would have, I mean, you know, they would have screened Cornelius, maybe because he was a soldier, but certainly because he was a Gentile. We would screen him, and this would be us getting it wrong, but if we were to get it wrong, we would screen him because we'd say, he's such a good guy, he doesn't need the gospel. He's such a good guy, we don't have anything to offer him. Look what it says about him in chapter 10, verse 2. After it says that he is a soldier, it says, verse 2, a devout man who feared God and with his whole household gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. He is a really, really good guy. But he is going to hell if he doesn't hear the gospel. If he doesn't receive the gospel. If he doesn't believe the gospel. Sometimes we screen people because we say, well, they wouldn't fit here. They're Romans, we're Jews. You know, they wouldn't fit here. They're this, we're that. Sometimes we screen people for those reasons. Sometimes we screen people because we think they're so good they don't need the gospel. Sometimes we screen people because we think they're such hotheads. Who'd want them around? Turn a page backwards to Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 reads, But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters of the synagogues at Damascus, that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. I don't think you would pick him as the ideal next deacon candidate to disciple. This young, hothead rage monster. Probably not the guy you'd probably screen him out. But God comes to Ananias and says, I picked him. And Ananias tries to screen him. He's like, I've heard a lot about that guy, and I don't think he's your guy, God. God says, I picked him. Go. And so he goes. And he gets to baptize the guy that will become the Apostle Paul. We need to witness to people, not screen people. If God is provoking you, if God is pushing on you, if God is urging you, if God is quietly nudging you to witness, for the love of God, please witness. For their sake, please tell them the truth. So they believe. And then let's see what happens next. So let's remember the order here. Peter obeys the Spirit. The Spirit had been telling him to go to their house and eat their food. And so he goes to their house and he eats their food. And then the Spirit sent him to talk. So he bears witness. And then they receive the gospel. And this is what happens. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come, that means like, there's like, that's how you knew you were Jewish. You were circumcised. So people that had come from the only Jewish church came with Peter, and they're like, this can't be happening. These people haven't even converted to Judaism yet. And all the believers who had, among the circumcised who had come with Peter, were amazed because of the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Hey, when was the last time you saw people speak in tongues in the book of Acts? It was Acts chapter 2. It was when the Holy Spirit appeared in flames of fire over the apostles' heads, and they went out and spoke in tongues, and then they went out and preached in tongues, and a whole bunch of people got saved. That was the last time that tongues were named like that. And so they might have in their mind been thinking this was only for the apostles, and here are these Gentiles speaking in tongues, and God gives them this gift to say, I am in them, and they are in me, and Peter needs to see this. This is maybe why Peter was chosen, so he himself can see the gospel going forward, even to the Gentiles. For they're hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have just received the Holy Spirit just as we have? You remember the promise that was made in Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we see here. We see them, the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they have the Holy Spirit as it's been poured out as they believe. And the forgiveness of sins. And this is what baptism will show. But let me finish verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, why baptized? Well, baptism is a fantastic picture of coming into the church. Baptism says you were on the outside. You were an outsider. Like Cornelius, he's a really good outsider. Or like the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, and he was a young, angry hothead, a really bad outsider. But you are an outsider. But you believe the gospel, and because you believe the story, because you believe the narrative, the truth, that Jesus came, that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose, that Jesus will return, because you believe all that, and you've received him as Lord, now you've died to your sins. You have been crucified with Christ. The old you is dead. That you, when you go under the water, it is a picture of your death with Christ. That you died to all of that. So all of those sins, they have all been nailed to the cross of Christ. And you are utterly and completely forgiven. That you don't bear them anymore. That God's not up there going, well, I still remember the time. That they are washed away. That you died with Christ. And you've been buried with Christ. So you're not going back. This is the picture of baptism. You go under the water and you die with Christ. And then you are raised out of the water, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit's power to raise you to newness of life so that you live a different kind of life than you did before. You live a life characterized by resurrection morality and resurrection power. Resurrection direction. You died to that old stuff. And you've been raised to newness of life. And so This doesn't mean that you're in Christ by yourself, though. You're in Christ with the baptized, with the redeemed, with the church. And so baptism here is a picture of them saying, we see that your sins are forgiven. We see that you have the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a way of them receiving them as one of them, as in Christ. Baptism is a way of the church saying, you are one of us. You are in Christ too. Your sins are forgiven. You have the Holy Spirit. We're affirming what the Spirit has done in your life. And this is why Peter says, who can stop them from being baptized? We see the evidence of the Spirit in them. So, has the Holy Spirit been pushing on you? What's He calling you to do? What's He calling on you to say? My question for you this morning is, will you obey the Spirit's nudge? Will you obey the Spirit's pull? Obey the Spirit. You might resolve to obey the Spirit. Hey, how will we know if you say no to the Spirit? How would we know? Like, okay, so that what I'm trying to do is get you to say positively what saying yes to the Spirit looks like. So if you say yes to the Spirit this afternoon, what will that look like? If you say no to the Holy Spirit this afternoon, what will that look like? What's the Holy Spirit calling you to do? You know, it may be that you need to talk to one of us about getting baptized. It may be that it's time. It may be that God is calling you to love someone enough, to build a relationship enough, to build the bridge enough, to go to their house and eat their food. It will be just like the Holy Spirit to call you to do something incredibly missional like that. And it will be just like the Holy Spirit to call you to tell someone the gospel. Will you tell them? Or will you keep screening people for God? God doesn't need help. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here that you would give them grace to take whatever next step that you have for them. Lord, we know that apart from you, that we are dead in our sins, but you, by the power of your Spirit, has raised us to newness of life. Lord, we thank you for what baptism means and how we have, once we were dead in our sins and now we're alive to you. Lord, help us live alive to you. Help us say yes to you every time. Give us courage when we're afraid. Give us strength when we're weak. Give us power for obedience when we're overwhelmed by temptation. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, what I need to do right now is go change my clothes. I'll let Brendan explain that.